Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for being part of my day. Bill Hubbard is our guest. William Hubbard is our good friend and longtime original member of our Brain Trust. Sometime in about, four or five months, he will celebrate his 10th anniversary as a member of our Brain Trust. God willing that we're both still here by then. He's the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, The Medical Privacy Rule, two different books, and at least two. I know he's written a number of others. Those are the two that I have talked to you about recently, and he's our top expert in human resources in the area of managing employees and doing all that legally. He's our good friend. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Always glad to be here.
It's good to have you back. How many books now?
Oh, 8 or 9.
Yeah?
Something like that, depending on how we count the definition.
Right. And a lot of good stuff, folks. Bill, one of the things you want to talk about today are policy manuals.
Yes.
This is a perennial issue. I actually have met small business owners who didn't want to have policy manuals because they felt that there was more danger in having a policy manual than in not having one. Meaning, if I write it down, I've got to stick to it. But I think that's a backward way to look at it, don't you?
Well, I've heard that argument quite a bit. And
why would they make that argument?
Well, one of the reasons some of them are small business owners is they left the big ship to start their own small craft and do their own operation. And one of the reasons they typically left the big corporation was there's a lot of policies and procedures that are typically part of a large organization. And oftentimes you feel like those policies and procedures kind of tie your hands and you can't do this and you can't do that. You got to follow the rules. And a lot of smaller business entrepreneurs really want to do their own thing and they want to respond to the conditions that are there and they don't want to be tied down by a bunch of rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the real rationale in terms of, well, why I don't want to have one. And as you begin an organization or begin an entrepreneurship and you're working on your own, you can pretty much do that because you're the central part of the whole the product, the service, that in dealing with employees, so you're involved with all of that. But as your organization grows and as you get more employees and as you begin to hire a supervisor or two supervisors and so on, and you go from one employee to five employees, 10 to 15 to 20, pretty soon the dynamics of interacting within the organization are so much more complex that sooner or later we need to get back down to having some basic guidelines to follow so that we're treating everybody the same.
If you've got two or three employees, you can kind of keep up with what you told everybody.
Yeah.
You can kind of keep up with what everybody you've offered everyone and you can kind of, you know, everybody knows what's going on, and so you can kind of go with the flow, I guess. But once you get beyond that very much, you know, it's sort of like, it starts getting out of hand, and you don't know who you've told what to, what, you know, who you've off made this deal to, that deal, the vacation deal, the days off, whatever it might be. The certain, you're going to have special circumstances where somebody says, hey, boss, I got this problem. What do I do about it? And 3 minutes later, somebody else comes in and says, hey, boss, I got this problem. What do I do about it? Can you help me? Whatever. And at some point in time, the policy manual prevents you from having to make a decision every time some employee has a problem.
That's one of the key issues, is it prevents the need to stop what you're doing to try to decide to resolve one particular issue when you can kind of plan in advance how we're going to handle a variety of common issues that typically occur, and we want to set a uniform approach to how we're defining a benefit or providing a guideline or controlling a particular issue.
I do remember, Bill, as you do, going to work for a big company and being given policy, the employee policy manual, and was required to read it. And they'd actually, you know, kind of give me a little, one place actually gave me it. I remember, I think it was Xerox, actually kind of gave me a little test on it, you know, to make sure I'd read the darn thing. And you know, it told me what they expected of me. It told me what I could expect from them. And it was a very important tool in our relationship.
It really is. I give workshops on how and why to do these kinds of things. And one of the things I ask the group is, what kind of questions do your employees have? And what kind of questions do your supervisors have? And invariably, employees want to know about pay and time off, or some combination of those issues, in other words, pay for time off. And so those are the kinds of questions that typically come up. And then what I tell the group is, this is the information that you want to put in your handbook. You want to answer those questions that come up very frequently, and you want to define a common, consistent guideline to put out there for everybody so that they know what to expect and they know what the rules are. And that's really one of the key benefits of it.
It
rather than considering it as a way to tie your hands that you can't make decisions, the key advice that I offer to firms is to write policies in a way that reflects the practice in your organization. So you can define a policy that is very broad and very vague, or you can define it very specific and very detailed and nail it down hard and fast as specific as you want it to be. And then
for
me,
for
that's
example,
one of the key issues.
For example, one person I talked to years and years ago was having trouble with sick days.
Yes.
And I said, why don't you create a policy manual, a policy on that, and write it down, give it to people. And she said what I said earlier, you know, I don't want to be tied down, you know, that's too much in writing, you know, whatever. And I said, well, why don't you just do this? Why don't you just say, and I said, what is your sick day policy? She said, we don't have sick days. I said, then say that. Write it down.
That's the policy.
Tell your employees to begin with, no sick days. You know, you don't get any paid sick days here. If that's your policy, tell them that in advance. And the thing is, that prevents a whole lot of problems down the road.
It really does. It answers the questions that employees raise, and it defines the message. And it's not like you have to give away the store in terms of, we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to match what all the big companies do, but rather define things that reflect what you do and how you do it, and communicate that information to the employee so they have some idea and some understanding of what the practice is, and they don't need to come in and take up your valuable time every morning or whatever that issue is, trying to resolve a particular question that they can quickly refer to it.
Those employees who will take advantage will already know not to go there. Stand by, Bill. We're going to take a quick break. Bill Hubbard and I will be right back. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
I spent a lot of money and I spent...
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one, which is just now 10 years old, smallbusinessadvocate.com, is our flagship. That's where you can find the show and articles and archives of shows that we've done all the way in the past many years. And of course, you can subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget to do that. That's free as well, like everything else we have. And we'll send it to you by email every Sunday afternoon. Get you ready for the week ahead. And our blog is there, which we update every weekday. Our knowledge base, askjim.biz, .biz, is where you can go to get small business answers now. And our good buddy, William Hubbard, is on all of both of our sites. He's all over both of them. He's done so much over the years to contribute to what we've done to help you. And Bill, we appreciate that very much.
Well, I'm glad to be of assistance, and I know I get a lot of the same questions with the issues that I deal with as a human resources consultant, and so we're just trying to convey some of the key points to help firms better deal with their employees and deal with issues that will help them become a more profitable organization and do it in a way that complies with the law so that you don't get into problems that you don't need to have.
And we've had a little fun along the way, too, haven't we?
Well, we try to do that as well.
Hey, Bill, give us your website, too, please.
www.hubbart.com, and that's H-U-B-B-A-R-T-T.
And they can find your books there. They can find your policy manual book there, which is what we're talking about now, right? They find all that there?
That information is there in terms of describing what they are and the various services that I have to offer. Other areas relate to medical privacy issues, and then I also have kind of a retail side of what I do where I've got some products that are on CD and some booklets and so on that give also human resources information as well.
What are, back to the policy manual thing, what can a policy manual look like for a small company? Let's say they got less than 10 employees. What could a policy, I mean, as you know, big companies have a policy manual for all the different elements. They got a vacation policy manual, they got a discrimination policy manual, they got a, you know, you name it, they got a policy manual for it. But it doesn't have to be that complicated for a small business, does it?
It doesn't. When I deal with a small firm, and I've done handbooks and policy manuals for organizations that have as few as five employees, sometimes 10 and sometimes 15 or more. When you hit 15, you're subject to most of the state and federal labor laws, so there's an added incentive there to consider some of those issues. But basically, you can have maybe 10 or 15 or 20 different policy issues summarized in terms of you can put in a booklet, you can put on a sheet of paper, you can put it on kind of a collection of information, or put it on your internal intranet, or however you want to really publish it. But the heart of it is that you're defining some key issues that define and communicate to employees how you deal with them in terms of the employment relationship and what kind of benefits you're providing for them as part of the employment issues as well. So you might define topics that deal with employment classification, full-time, part-time, temporary, who gets benefits, who doesn't get benefits. You might define some issues such as attendance issues. If you're going to be absent, who to call in, by when, and how do you report an absence, and whether or not there's going to be, we talked about sick pay, whether or not you're going to provide a sick pay benefit, or if absences are unpaid, then that's the policy, and that's how you communicate that. If you have to grant leaves of absence, and there are different kinds of absences that do need to occur, whether it's for funerals or jury service or military leave or employee illness, these are kinds of things that can also be defined in the handbook. So the different kinds of leaves of absence, some basic conduct and disciplinary kinds of issues are a good message to communicate in terms of dress code and how we handle different kinds of behavior and conduct on the job. So there's a wide range of topics and issues, and there's no formal requirement that you have to say this or you have to say that. To me, the heart of it is that it should reflect your firm, your practices, how you manage, convey the tone and the image that you want to convey. So different organizations have different emphasis and different messages, and it's important that your handbook reflect that. So I guess from that point, one caution is don't just copy a handbook from the guy down the street, but rather define practices that reflect your firm and your organization, and consider how are you dealing with that, and find the words that reflect how you're dealing with that, and then that's what you put in. And that's the unique part of the service that I offer, as I say, well, we write it to reflect your practice, and so I came in and I say, well, how do you deal with this issue? How do you deal with that issue? Mm-hmm. If you tell me what you're doing, I find the words and I write it to reflect that. If you're not sure what to do, then I can offer ideas and advice in terms of what's competitive practice, what's fair and legal, what the other firms are doing, and here's
the recommended
approach.
And it's an evolving document, isn't it? I mean, it could start out as a two-pager.
Yes.
And as issues come up, as employee issues come up, then you just add another paragraph, add another note, or as things like, you know, we've sexual harassment, internet activity, things like that. Those are newer elements of all this. As those things come up, as the marketplace evolves, your document can evolve, can it?
It really can, and certainly you've touched on two key issues there: the whole electronic communications aspect of the employment relationship.
That's a major reason to be focusing on this right now. Hubbart.com, H-U-B-B-A-R-T-T. You can find Bill there. Bill, give us that phone number real quick, please.
630-513-9494.
All right. Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you.
Hubbard.com, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be there if you need him. Quick break, right back with Chester Elson. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.